Time for What You Need to Know. Game two of the Eastern Conference Semis between the Bucks and Heat. Heat up 1-0, and the Heat are up 10 with, let me see how much time is left in this game.
7 minutes
and 28 seconds in the game. They're up 9, pardon me, because of a free throw by Marvin Williams. LZ, real quick, what have you seen from this game? I know we've been keeping an eye on it as we're watching. What has impressed you? What has depressed you?
What has impressed me has been the way that the Miami Heat, and we talked about this in the past, George, just keep coming at you in waves. Waves and waves. Substitutions mean nothing to this squad, unless it's Jimmy, of course, because everyone just comes in, knows their role, and there's no relapse. And the other thing that's very disappointing is Giannis clearly has, he truly has, like, no mid-range game at all. Like, if he could just eliminate the entire mid-range part of the floor and just have a three-point line in the rim, he would be happy.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here like going, dog, just raise up.
Yeah.
Shoot a little hook. What are you, yeah, like, come on, dog.
Well, it's interesting that the Bucks have made an adjustment to try to shut down Jimmy Butler. He's
right.
Got, like, I think 8 points or something. But they're still down by 10. Oh, now they're down by 7 because George Hill just hit a three. But they're still down. So, like, if you have the guy who had 40 last game and you make a good adjustment defensively, you hold him to 8 and you're still down in this game, that's right. Got to be disheartening.
Yeah, the challenge is they're limiting Jimmy to 8 shots, but and they've done a nice job on Bam too, but the problem is everyone else is hitting shots. Like, oh, they're shooting 39% from 3. So it'll be an interesting finish. We'll keep you up to date. It is a 7-point game, as Momo said, with 6.5 to go in the fourth quarter. So next, LZ. U.S. Open,
sir.
Update. What is the next match we should be keeping our eye on?
We should always be watching Naomi Osaka until she's eliminated. Why? Well, one, she's a great player. But also, two, she has 7 masks that she's wearing. And each one of those masks has a name of a victim of police brutality. The first round match, she had Breonna Taylor. This go-round, I think she had Elijah McClain. And she says she's going to wear a different name on her mask all the way up through the finals. So obviously she is a fantastic player who's using her platform very much like the NBA players to also keep people's minds focused on larger issues.
And lastly here, it is the 25-year anniversary of the trade from the New York Knicks, sending Pat Riley for a first rounder to the Heat, who are playing right now. The Knicks got the raw end of that Riley deal. The Lakers got 4 championships as a coach. The Heat have 3 championships as a coach and executive. And the Knicks got 1 finals appearance and couldn't close the deal because John Starks couldn't hit a damn shot. Good Lord. Is that the worst, Momo, is that the worst coach trade that you recall in sports history?
Interesting. I'm trying to think of some other ones. Like, didn't Doc Rivers get traded?
Doc Rivers, yeah.
Got traded.
John Gruden was traded to the Bucks.
John Gruden.
Gruden.
That's a good one. I mean, it kind of says something when you got to trade a coach. That's.
But the Bucks did get a Super Bowl out of that.
Yeah, they got a Super Bowl. It was good. And, you know, and I would say the Clippers have gotten a lot out of Doc Rivers. I mean, he pretty much saved the league in 2014 after the Sterling mess, right? And he's given them some legitimacy and, you know, enough legitimacy they've been able to sign free agents like Kawhi. So, yeah.
Yeah. Let's Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick was traded from the Jets to the Patriots. That worked out okay. Ozzie Guillen, Lou Piniella in baseball, Chuck Tanner. Those are some of the names. So there you have it. Those are some of the notable names that have been traded, including Doc Rivers, as you mentioned. And
that's a good trivia question right there. I like that.
It doesn't feel right, though, to use the Knicks as the barometer, because have they had any trade work out for them or anything?
Excellent point, LC. Excellent point. All right, that's what you need to know. Mama Momo hanging out with us on a Wednesday. LZ, Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN.
Ooh.
We're taking your phone calls. Game 7 tonight between the Rockets and Thunder. Who do you want to see and why? The Chris Paul revenge tour continues. I like to quote a line from one of my favorite movies as a kid, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, with Ricardo Montalban. He played Khan, and he said, "Revenge is a dish best served cold." And I feel like that's what's going on with the ice in Chris Paul's veins today. he is not even hiding it. LZ and I talked about this yesterday, Momo. He is not even hiding his disdain for James Harden.
I mean, you know, what's the famous gif to James Harden when he walks away from that interview and he does the side eye?
Right.
It's like, that's Chris every night. Chris is just looking at James like, oh. And, you know, I think it's also, it's not just that, like, James and him didn't get along and they fell out at the end of the year. It's how proud Chris is. Like, you don't get to do that to me. Like, I'm Chris Paul, right? It's like, you don't get to tell me I'm washed up. You don't get to tell me out, you know? And I think there's a pride in this for Chris Paul that has been, frankly, like, refreshing to see all year. You know, I like seeing guys who, like, when they're on their way out, change their diet, change it all up. I like it.
But, you know, real talk, though, like, real baller talk, when you're with someone that long, and I know they didn't spend their entire careers together, but they were together for a couple seasons, and that's enough.
Yeah.
Not just to know a guy's game, but also what he's about.
Right.
And what his values are, and what his personality is like. And when you're teammates with someone who might be a little suspect, you're more than willing to cover for them because you're all in this together.
Right.
But if they disrespect you and you get traded and you know they ain't really about that life to begin with, like, and Chris Paul, you can say whatever you want about his postseason, you know, in terms of how far the teams go, but I've never, ever questioned if he was about that life or not.
That's a great
point. I've always questioned if Harden really was about that life. And I think Chris knows the answer.
Yeah.
And he wants to reveal Harden's secret to everybody, which is why he is so vicious, to George's point, and not hiding his disdain for him.
Right.
That's an excellent point. Yeah, and I think that goes for anything in life, right? When you know somebody's just like not really all about it, when you feel like you know somebody, then it hurts when they're the ones to cast you out, right? I think in Chris's mind, it's more like, how do you get to be the one telling me I'm done?
Yeah, of course. And nobody wants to be told that, you know? Yeah. And I'm glad that he, in any walk of life, right? And I'm glad that he's getting that chance to really kind of give it to everybody. Like, I know that, again, we talked about he doesn't have the best bedside manner and some guys don't like him. But you know what, man? This is the way I look at it. And a friend of mine told me this the other day, okay? They said that they couldn't remember a title team that didn't have either a leader or a co-leader who had somebody who was that driven to win basically at any expense necessary. It may not always be fun, but that's how you win, right?
Well, what's interesting with Chris, though, he is, and yet he had flaws in his leadership game when he was with the Clippers, right? He made some pretty critical mistakes in a couple of their big series. Yep. He had some injuries. I can point to this, you know, it's actually a game against Oklahoma City during that series in 2014, which was probably their best chance to win when everybody was healthy. He had two inexplicable turnovers at the end of that game, and the Clippers end up losing that series. But I think with Chris, like, there is this sense that he's a proud guy who has never quite been healthy at the right time, been on the right team at the right time. And like, you don't want to see him go out like that. And I mean, last year though, I know this is gonna sound weird, but like, he was not a popular player. I mean, all we talked about was him complaining with the refs, right? And he always seemed aggrieved. Like, everyone on that Houston team seemed aggrieved all the time. They were upset about the calls, upset James Harden doesn't get more MVP votes or respect or whatever. It's like, and you know, you can't, if you walk around like that when you're like upset about things. Like, it's one thing if you've won something, if you're a title team, if you've been there, if you've done that, but like, they really didn't have anything to stand on to be so aggrieved about.
But that's on coach too. Mike D'Antoni complains a lot. He complains to the refs a lot. He complains in the press conferences before and afterwards a lot. And I like Mike a lot, but, and I'm not making this up, you can just get the videos and look for yourself.
Sure.
So not only, to your point, Momo, you have players who haven't really won anything. You also have a coach who hasn't done anything with a lot of talent in terms of getting to the finish line himself. And so the complaining starts with him, and Daryl Morey is always talking smack. And now the new owner's talking smack. Like, the whole franchise is just full of themselves, and they have not a single damn reason to be in that place. They should just be grateful and work hard, because they haven't done anything.
That's the thing. When you haven't won, you can't talk. Like, you can't. So Chris is gone from that guy. Like, I don't think his Q rating was very high last year. People thought not only was he washed up, but he was annoying, right? That was the vibe, you know, with Chris. Now, all of a sudden, he's like sort of this comeback story that everybody's rooting for.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good turnaround.
We build you up to tear you down to build you back up again. Yeah. That's how it works. Let's go to the phones. 877-710-ESPN. Who do you want to see tonight and why? Who do you want to see win this game tonight, this game seven between the Rockets and the Thunder? Laura, who should I go to here? Peter, let's go to Peter in Anaheim. Peter, what's up?
Hey, guys, what's up? Just want to say hi to Momo. You are the best. LZ.
Thanks.
George, miss you guys in the mornings. George, happy birthday.
Thank you, buddy.
And when it comes to who do we want to see, I really don't care. Bring them, all of them.
Oh!
On both teams.
There we go.
LeBron James. I heard this other guy compare Chris Paul to Wilson. It's like, do the comparable of like a quarterback. We have LeBron James, the best quarterback in the NBA, possibly in the NFL if you throw him in there. I don't know. LeBron James is an animal. Like, what is he talking about? We got like Mahomes, Rodgers, and Jackson all rolled in one in LeBron James. He's crazy. Bring them all. We're not scared of any team, including the Clippers, by the way. So, yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, I hate to disappoint you guys. I'm at Target right now. I'm buying mint chocolate.
Don't say mint bars. Mint chocolate.
No. Come on.
Big win.
Are you buying it for someone else?
No.
It's
mint chocolate what? Mint chocolate like cookies or ice cream? What?
Ice cream.
Okay.
See, I like mint chocolate ice cream. It's very refreshing.
Momo, what is happening today? What is happening?
I like, though? I know it's going to sound weird. I like the coconut milk mint chocolate ice cream because I don't like all the creamy dairiness of it. I just want more like a frozen ice kind of mint chocolate. So the coconut one is better. Try that. Pro tip.
No. No, I won't. Right,
let's go to Sean in LA, who's been waiting patiently. Let me grab Sean real quick. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Are you buying mint chocolate chip ice cream too, or no?
No, I'm stuck in the car. I'm driving from freaking up near San Luis Obispo back down to South LA. So.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, well, we're glad that you've been waiting for us, and I apologize for the long wait.
No worries. I wasn't going to go anywhere else. So, but anyway, my point is I think that we're going to see the OKC come out on top tonight. Surprisingly, and part of it is I think they're just hungrier. I think Chris Paul wants to control his narrative. I think he sees himself, on LeBron or Carmelo's level, or I guess a little bit under LeBron's level in terms of career-wise, and I think he still has a lot to prove after kind of gaining some haters like you guys were talking about, and I think that team's hungrier, plain and simple, just because it's seven games already. Second thing I want to say, besides happy birthday to George, is What is there any truth to this rumor that he might come to LA next year and take a little bit less money just to team up with LeBron, his buddy, and AD?
You're saying Chris Paul?
Yeah.
Well, he's under contract, so he'd have to get bought out, right?
Yeah.
Or traded. Yeah.
I mean, he has to get bought out. Keep him on the team.
I know that the Lakers aren't going to spend the money to get him.
Well, the Lakers don't have assets to trade for him, so he'd have to get bought out. And I don't think I don't see that happening anymore. You know what I mean, Sean? Ramona, what about you? I don't see it.
I mean, look, the Lakers need a point guard, and they need one all year. They had to have LeBron do it just because they didn't have a point guard, right? So they could certainly use a guy like that, and I think he's proven that he can still play. I think they could have had Chris Paul last summer, but he makes so much damn money. Like,
right.
How much money do you think the guy's going to leave on the table?
Right.
But, I mean, that's what the only trade. I'm going to get in trouble saying this, but I'll just say it anyway. Okay. God damn. This show's dangerous for me. Like, the only thing that kind of makes sense if you want to talk about Chris Paul and trades or whatever is him in either Philly or New York. Those teams have contracts and a need at point guard where you could justify that trade. But he looks dang good in Oklahoma City. And as long as – I think Sam Presti, when I talked to him after that trade last year, you know, they had this idea that they were this – you know, we won't understand the ramifications of this trade for 7 years, right? Like they have picks coming for 7 years from now on, right, from the trade of Russell Westbrook and from Paul George. So anything they get right now is gravy. And I think that they were feeling not just an obligation to their fans, but like they want to reward their fans who have shown up night in, night out during that Westbrook Durant era. And they didn't want to just like bottom out. They didn't want to just, you know, okay, let's toss the team out there and just be terrible and tank the first year that all of them are gone. They wanted to be like decent. Now, if they would have been out of the playoff race or like, you know, hanging on to 7-8, I think they would have been more active at the trade deadline. But they were in it, and why not see it through?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. Coming up next, there's some breaking news in the NFL. News in the NFL literally just broke moments ago. We'll have that for you in 90 seconds.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sedano and LZ with you here. Mama Momo hanging out. We've got breaking
birthday
news.
Birthday boy in his house.
Yes, that is me. Yes, thank you.
Yes. I'm going to celebrate you until 7 o'clock. Then don't bring it up ever again.
What is coming up after us today? We have LAFC, right, Greg? Okay, so you guys let me know when we should break at the end of the show, and you figure out the clock stuff, and I'll just say we got to go. We have breaking news. So Leonard Fournette was cut the other day from the Jacksonville Jaguars because the Jaguars are clearly tanking for Trevor Lawrence. I don't think they're even hiding that, you know? And the Tampa Bay Bucks, on the other hand, are literally going after everyone. They got Brady. They got Gronk. They added LeSean McCoy as kind of their third down back. And now they got a featured back because Leonard Fournette is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, according to our Adam Schefter.
Ooh.
Yes, this reeks of that Washington team that threw together all those aging veterans and superstar names thinking they can just buy a championship.
Yeah.
This is what this is starting to smell like to me now.
Or that Philly team. Remember the Philly team that did that too with Michael Vick?
Yep. This is starting to feel like that. I mean, we talked about this yesterday, George.
Yeah.
Leonard Fournette was not the best back in that draft, wasn't the best back in that first round, had a really solid rookie year, but since then has been, you know, just okay.
So it's funny you say that. So I actually looked up the stats, right, because I've had him on my fantasy team. Mm-hmm. Leonard Fournette from the, you know, let's say the Jaguars side of the field, from the one-yard line all the way to the opponent's 20 is a good running back. He is actually terrible in the red zone, which is insane to me because he's so big and strong. Like, I don't understand why his yards per carry goes so far down. Now, everybody's does because it gets more compact, but his goes even further down than it normally does for the average running back.
Downhill running back with no real lateral movement. You got to be a little, you know, crafty when you get down in there, to your point, George, because it's so packed. But if you're used to just getting a full steam ahead and just running straight up and down, that's kind of easier to defend. Giannis finally got a bucket in the fourth quarter.
I don't know if you heard me slam my desk a second ago. Yeah, he got a bucket and a foul. I will just say, I'm not going to complain, but the Bucks have well, not anymore. It's even double or more. But all of it, the Bucks early in this game had like a 2-1 discrepancy in free throws. So I just want to say that.
Yeah. The Heat have missed some wide open looks, though, in this fourth quarter. It's gotten tight. 111-107, Miami up with about a minute left to go.
Right.
Miami's got the ball.
Yeah. We'll keep you updated.
Who's going to take an ill-advised layup and cost their team the game?
Jay Crowder. Oh! Bam Adebayo just hit a jumper.
That was That's savage.
Bam Adebayo has a nice little mid-range
game.
That's
how you do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bam Adebayo. That's how you do it, Giannis.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, when they pack the paint, I'm just saying, when you pack the paint, you know, but they give you a layup that's, you know, a little free throw line, basically, you got to be able to hit that.
What's interesting is up until just the last minute, Giannis had taken two shots in the fourth quarter. Two. Okay. And this is a game his team has to win. He's gotten aggressive these last couple of possessions by basically just going to the rim no matter what. He got an and one one time ago. This one he was fouled by Bam Adebayo, who I don't know if that's really a foul. Did you think that was a foul, Izzy? That was tight.
Now that I see the replay, it's a foul.
Oh, and Bam fouled out, which is bad.
Fouled out here. So Giannis is almost airballed that free throw.
He's
almost
so bad at the line, but he's good today.
He almost airballed that free throw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Short on it. Yeah. So the Heat are up six with 43 seconds left.
And no Bam, their best defender.
Yeah, best defender. Giannis at the line just missed the first part of the free throws.
And you know what's going to be crazy,
guy,
man?
George, you should be doing this.
What's going to be real crazy, what's going to be super crazy at the end of all of this is that Giannis is going to get a pass. He's going to get a pass for this performance, win or lose. If LeBron James does what's happening right now, particularly in the fourth quarter, he is the feature story at the beginning of SportsCenter, the middle, and the end.
Just missed two free throws again. I mean, Elzy, like here's the thing with Giannis. Fantastic talent, wonderful player. I think he's such a good all-around player, probably going to win the MVP again this year. But has he ever been under the kind of scrutiny that a guy like LeBron James has? Has he ever had it on his shoulders day in, day out?
Never.
Where in a game like this.
And you know why?
Yeah. Why?
You know why? Because he's so damn likable. His story is gorgeous. He's got that smile. He says all the right things. He doesn't even have an offensive nickname.
Well, you know what the thing is, though? Like, this is the part. See, he's still in that phase of where LeBron was in Cleveland, where it's about, can they get him enough help, right? It's still on the organization to get him enough help. So it's always about expectations. Are you over-delivering on expectations or under-delivering? Right now, he's over-delivering because nobody expects the team around him to be a championship team. He's elevated the Bucks to the best team in the league. But if the Bucks were to go out and make some big trades and then they have two or three superstars around him, now the pressure's on you to perform because they gave you what you needed.
Right.
Girl, let me tell you something. That squad that Giannis has right there.
No, they're not bad. They're not bad.
That squad is a good-ass squad. That's a good LZ, enough squad that Kawhi can work with.
Yeah. Yeah. LZ, to your point, though, you have made the case today, and you've been right. Even though Giannis's numbers are 27 and 14 today, they are minus 11 when he's on the floor today.
Ooh.
Yes. That team, the Miami Heat's designed to beat Giannis. And the more and more that Mike Budd refuses to adjust, because it's really clear what the game plan is, the easier it is going to be for Miami to beat this squad. When Giannis sits down, Miami looks mortal. When Giannis is in the game, their game plan works. All the other Bucks sit around and they try to free up Giannis to be able to do the Euro step into the lane. And it's like, listen, Brooke Lopez is a great shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Middleton is a 50-40-90 guy. They got guys.
Well, but he's a 50-40-90 guy with Giannis. I don't think he's a 50-40-90 guy without Giannis.
Well, listen, he's a 0-0-0 guy with Giannis right now because that team is looking for the and I'm like, I just want to see, I want to hear all of the BS chatter that Laker Nation had to deal with when we lost game one against Portland. I want to come with that same energy about Giannis
with the Bucks.
The first two games against the Heat. Yes.
Well, he hasn't lost yet. Easy. Relax. There's still 20 seconds left in the game. So easy. Relax. It hasn't happened yet.
Miami has 19.8 seconds left in the game. So they're going to – and I think the Bucks have the ball, right?
Yeah, Bucks took a timeout. Yeah. Yeah, Bucks took a timeout. But it's LZ, to your point, they already got some grief game one. If they do go down 0-2, listen – everybody, all these talk shows on our network, okay, beginning with First Take, okay, Stephen A. and Max are going to crush him tomorrow if they end up losing. Like, it's going to start there, and it's only going to get worse as the day goes on.
No, what I want to see is our good friend Chuck. I want him to say, you know, I thought the Milwaukee Bucks had a chance to win, but Giannis, he's not doing what he needs to do. This team going to get swept. That's what I want to hear from Charles Barkley. I want to hear him make some bold proclamation against these Bucks the way he came with all that energy against our Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's always been – until LeBron won his first couple of titles, it was always his fault when they didn't win. Then once you win, it's always the organization's fault or everybody
else's. It's somebody else's fault. Yeah. Right, yes. Funny how that works, right? Yeah. Well, the running joke is, oh, LeBron always needs more help. Well, I mean, in a lot of the cases, he really has needed more help.
Yeah. Milwaukee just got a quick bucket.
Didn't he take Boobie Gibson to the finals?
Yeah. He made Mo Williams an all-star. Remember that?
He did make Mo Williams an all-star. That in itself is
He was an alternate.
Big play right there. Big play right there. I don't know what the call is, though. Yeah, it looks like it was a turnover. Milwaukee got the ball. Brooke Lopez.
Oh, my God. And they scored a basket.
And they scored it. Now it's only a 2-point game.
8 seconds to go. 2-point game. Yeah.
I think they're reviewing that play, though.
What is Jimmy doing there?
What was Jimmy doing? See? You thought it was going to be Jay Crowder. Nope. It ended up being Jimmy Butler.
It was Jimmy.
Well, first of all, he should have never gotten that pass in the corner like that. That's just bad. Why would you throw him the ball there? He's got two defenders.
Just throw it off. No, what you do is, so for those that don't know, he was trapped in the corner, Jimmy Butler, by Korver and George Hill. And instead of trying to throw it off of George Hill or Korver as he's falling out of bounds, he tried to throw it past the basket, and Brooke Lopez intercepted it and dunked it over, or laid it up over Goran Dragic. Why didn't the smart play there is just to throw it off of one of the guys, one of the Bucks players.
Yeah, I don't think you saw Brooke at all. Right. I think Brooke was just playing safety back there. Didn't see him. Thought he was throwing it to Dragic, and Brooke just made a heck of a play right there.
Well, and or also call timeout if you're Jimmy Butler. You have a timeout there too. That was a bad play by Jimmy Butler. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He pulled a Jay Crowder, who pulled a Jamal Murray.
Ooh, this is
I am still highly offended that Jamal Murray did that.
Jamal went and passed it to Torrey Craig, but he's not
the point guard.
Away.
Yes.
I know. Pull it back out.
He's the point guard. He pulled it back out. That's his fault. I thought Dante had died. I hadn't seen him all game. I'm glad he's back
there. Dante Vincenzo. All right. Well, he's inbounding now again.
All righty.
Eight seconds left.
Let's not throw it in the corner this time.
Can a coach call timeout in that situation, Momo? I don't think so,
right?
Oh, boy,
this looks like a terrible idea. Jimmy into triple coverage.
Yeah, I'm looking right now, like, going, what's happening? Jay Crowder is way on the other end. They're not giving him a chance to blow the game.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Man. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Oh. The coach can't call a timeout there in that situation when Jimmy Butler was trapped in the corner, right?
Maybe. I don't know that. Do you know that, George?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler's going to the free throw line here.
I do not believe so.
I'd have to.
OKC is up 11-7, by the way, early in the first. 11-7 OKC. And it's not that early, actually. It's 7:45.
Oh, Jimmy missed the first free throw. Oh, goodness.
Oh, that's not good.
Oh, goodness. It's a one-possession game. It's a one-possession game. Man, you go from hero to villain in this thing real quick, right?
Oh, man.
Game one, 40 points.
If he misses this?
Game two, 10 points. 3-for-8 from the field. If he misses this free throw, ooh.
Man. We're giving you guys play-by-play of a game that you're probably watching on television.
Yeah. All right, Jimmy, Michael Thompson is the one texting me. Michael Thompson is texting me that Spo froze, and I'm like, no, that you can't. And Greg, you had the rule, right? What is it?
It says, in the NBA, only players on the court are permitted to call timeouts. Players and coaches may only call timeouts when the ball is dead or when the ball is live and their team has sole possession.
Mm. Okay, so Jimmy Butler made the second free throw. It's Miami 114, Milwaukee 111. 7 seconds left, so the Bucks obviously have to drop a play for three here. Well, I guess
This is really easy. You just chase the 3-point line. This is super easy. Let them go for the layup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let them go.
Don't get sucked in and go for the kick out. Don't do that.
Yeah. Ooh.
Just chase her.
Do we stay here for the conclusion? Do we stay here for the conclusion, or do we go to break? What do we do here?
Ooh. No, we have to stay for the conclusion. People stuck in traffic, handing on the edge of their seat.
I
want to
know who wins.
All right, so here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. We'll stay for the conclusion.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, the conclusion.
Oh, my gosh. You're never going to believe what just happened.
Here we go.
A foul on a three-point shot.
Oh!
A foul on a three-point shot.
Yeah. I do they have a challenge? Because you can challenge that.
Goran Dragic just straight up and down. Oh, that's an offensive foul. That is an offensive foul. He jumped into the contact.
He definitely leaned forward, and Chris Middleton doesn't shoot like that.
Oh, that is not a foul on Goran Dragic at all.
That is an offensive foul. He leaned into that.
What is that ref doing? He did that right in front of him.
I know.
What is that?
He's got three free throws. He made the first two. Oh.
That is awful. That is malpractice. I would sue.
Goran Dragic is – I think he's straight up and down on that. Okay.
He is. He is.
Middleton made all three free throws. We got a tie ball game with 4 seconds left. Wow.
That is terrible.
That is terrible.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how you make that call.
Terrible.
How do you make that call?
It happened in front of him, too.
Oh. Everybody on Twitter is saying that is a terrible call. That is a terrible call.
Yeah. Of the game.
At the end of a playoff game like this.
Michael Thompson just texted me. Terrible call.
Joel Embiid tweeted, that's not a foul.
That is absolutely horrible. Now, obviously, if Jimmy Butler hits his two free throws, the point is still mute. However, this should not even have this. What?
That is a no call.
Like
that. I bet, no right, call. Mumbo, you're right. That is a no call. That is a no call. He is straight up and down.
Now, I will say this.
Let's combine the
review 19 times.
Yeah.
So
we'll
Goran
stay here.
Is clearly he's clearly leaning forward a hair. Like you can see him leaning forward just a hair. But Chris is actually the one that's pushing his body into Goran, whether he's leaning forward or not. That is a no call. And I can't believe that it happened in front of the ref, and he still blew the whistle. Here's Steve Jackson.
Doris Burke apparently is crushing the referees right now, crushing them on the air. That's what everybody on social media is saying, that Doris is destroying the refs. Yeah. That is a terrible call.
It's so hard to make that call and in any point of the game, but to do it at the end of a playoff game – To send a player to the line for three free throws to tie the game is unbelievable.
And oh, by the way, that's not even Chris's shot. That's not his shot. That's not the way he shoots threes in that kind of moment, that kind of setup. He probably would have missed.
Mm. We're going to overtime.
That's terrible, man.
Oh,
they're not. I don't know, man. And no Bam Adebayo. They're going to lose this game. It's going to be 1-1. The referees are going to end up giving Milwaukee a game.
Mm. It was kind of a bad shot by Middleton, too.
Yeah, it was
terrible.
There
was a lot of other shots you could have done.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't hit that shot. That's not his game.
Yeah, and that Steve Javy protecting the ref. Michael Thompson is texting me. He says he's killing. I don't know. I didn't hear what he said, but he says, Steve Javy's full of crap. He's just protecting the referee.
And what about Wes Matthews using his elbow on Jimmy's hip and not getting a foul call on the shot?
Right. Yeah, it just everything. Like they're just they want Milwaukee to be tied. That's clearly what's happening here right now. This group of officials does not want Milwaukee down 0-2.
Clearly, Jimmy's making a move to the basket, and the elbow to the hip stops him. That's not legal.
I hope the Lakers get this kind of love with LeBron. They're reviewing the last shot, but
could Spoelstra have challenged that foul call?
I don't think he had timeout left.
Oh. Yeah,
you need a timeout to have a challenge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 A terrible way. This is going to be the only thing. If Milwaukee wins, it's going to be the only thing people talk about.
Yep.
Like,
well,
this is
that as, the implosion. He clearly imploded.
I mean, they blew an 8-point lead, but it was, you know, in
Miami
3 minutes.
Miami imploded.
Yeah.
Wait, are they trying to call a foul on that?
Well, but LZ said
Jimmy got fouled twice.
Yeah, LZ is right. Wes Matthews did foul him first.
Ooh.
So there, what's going to happen
here? Wes Matthews' elbow on Jimmy Butler's hip.
Oh, makeup call. Jimmy's going to the line.
What is happening here? Is Jimmy going to the line? I mean, it is kind of, he did have the foul on Jimmy is a more legitimate foul than what they called him
yes.
for Dragic. But you still don't call either
is.
Of them. Neither of them should be fouls.
Jimmy made a move to the basket. Wes Matthews' elbow is on his hip and he pushes him. That's a foul.
Oh,
and then Giannis hits Jimmy in the back on the jumper. That's a foul. So
Jimmy's going to the line here with, oh no, this is not how a great game should be. Jimmy's going to the line with 0 seconds on the clock. All he has to do is make one free throw and the Heat win.
Well, at least, but look, the Heat should have won anyway after the middle. So in essence, that part of it.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Oh, that almost didn't go in. Well, why are we even playing anymore? You made the first.
But the reality is, oh, he almost missed it. I'm behind you by like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Considering that the Middleton foul should not have been a foul. It should have been over there.
Right. It should not have been a foul. But Miami imploded with the turnovers and Jimmy missing the crucial free throw and all of that. You know what? The ending of this game is trash.
Yeah.
It's
just
absolute trash between Miami imploding, these reckless calls, one for a makeup, the other, you know, not sure what was going on. Give Jimmy credit for hitting those two, but my gosh, I can't believe they didn't call that. Oh, yeah.
But who did they call it on, Giannis or on Matthews?
Well, Giannis clearly hits him, but he hits him after the ball's released. So I don't know what's going on. I really don't. Because he clearly hit him once the ball was released. And then on top of that, like, obviously it's a makeup call. Like, someone got in his ears, like, going, yo, dog, you just messed up.
Yeah, right, because he ruined the – they eventually got the outcome right.
Yeah, the outcome is correct.
Right,
Like, Miami should have won that game. They shouldn't have called the first foul on Dragic. But we also should have had some other basketball left to play. Like, it should have been rebound there with a couple of seconds left.
Right.
And
a foul. And then,
a foul later, you know? I mean, that was just a terrible ending. That's just not how that should have ended. The whole story is going to be
about that. Momo, you're saving your best material for Twitter. Give us what you just tweeted.
I said that was a worse ending than Game of Thrones.
All right. Coming up next, we'll have more thoughts on this as we get kind of what's going on here. What a crazy way to end that first game. OKC and the Rockets are underway as we speak right now. So we'll have that for you. Also, we have some interesting Rams news for you, some positive Rams news for you to end the show. So stick around for that. Come on, Momo.
Woo! You should see me dancing. I'm like in my bedroom. Bitty, bitty, bop, bop.
Let's go, girl.
Bitty, bitty, bop, bop. This is actually, like, good for my quads. this is definitely on my workout tape.
Is Greg dancing in studio right now?
I got a head bob. Does that count?
No.
Is there video?
No.
Just enjoying the music, LZ.
You don't think Zendaya can sing this?
I'm sure she can.
I like this one. Laura says Comola 4, that one. Selena's got some music. Yeah. Like I have a whole section of I have writing music and I also have workout music and sometimes they intersect, right? But like when it's like,
really?
You really need to get going. Yeah, well, writing music is most of the time I'm in a really crowded press room where it's loud and I just need to focus. So I turn on, I have like a playlist and I just rock out. and I just bust out the post-game column. Or I'm sitting at home, I'm all alone, it's 5 in the morning, the story's due by morning, and I just need to keep going. That's the other writing music.
You sounded almost like a Lady Antebellum song. It's a quarter after one.
Yep.
I'm all alone and I'm on deadline.
Yep. No, but I like it though. Like the nighttime is my time. That's like when I think best. I'm awake. The whole world's asleep. I feel kind of like, I don't know. Some people are morning. A lot of writers like get up really early in the morning, and I feel like it's a different species of human that does that. Yep, I'm straight out of Transylvania. Yeah, Houston's
Laura,
getting
I heard here. You, I heard your note. I heard your note, Laura. I know that Greg says that they're Lady A now, but there actually is another person who's actually is Lady A, so I won't call them that name. Remember, there's that blues singer who was Lady A first, and then Lady Antebellum tried to sue her for the name because they're trying to pretend they didn't know Antebellum was tied to slavery.
Yeah, Antebellum, that whole thing needs to go. That whole name needs to go, right?
Yes.
I mean, Antebellum, it means after the war. Isn't that what it means?
I mean, listen.
Yeah.
For them to pretend like they didn't know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the culture is different now, the country is different now, and that conversation is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's like when people say, like, the Confederate flag, that's like a whole different, that's just Southern pride. I'm like, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
Yeah, no.
Never was.
Yeah.
Stop it. Houston's playing really good defense.
Not the Dukes of Hazzard car either.
Oh, man, that's crazy. So I'm reading the internet. People are going nuts at this last game. Like, people are just—they're firing off takes.
It was trash.
And none of them
was a really bad ending.
None of them are good when it comes to the officials.
You know, I hate when this happens. It's like that was a good game. That was interesting. There was all these really interesting things that were happening. Like Giannis was missing free throws, but then driving to the hoop and trying to resurrect himself. I mean, it was. They closed an 8-point lead, an 8-point gap in the last minute. That was really interesting. Brooke Lopez with that great steal of Jimmy Butler on that play. And like, we're not even going to talk about any of that. It's just going to be the stupid foul calls. That neither of them should have been a foul.
Just straight trash. Wow, just ruined game. It for everybody.
Thanks, Mark Davis.
Still in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Can you imagine being the Mark pool Davis reporter for nothing. This one?
Oh, man.
Oh,
who gets to be that?
Yeah, probably like one of the reporters in the bubble will have to go be the pool reporter and take down those quotes from those refs. And like, you know, there's certain, like, I think referees know when they messed up now. Like, they usually know based off of, you know, like pretty quick.
Twitter?
Yeah. I don't think they check their tweets, but I think they know fairly quickly when they've messed up.
Yeah, for sure. By the way, streaming something that you can't mess up, because it's so good and everyone's excited for it, is streaming September 4th. Disney's new movie, Mulan. Experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom. Available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock their premiere access. I do have one thing before we get to the Rams. Dancing with the Stars has unveiled their new cast.
Oh.
Charles Oakley, which was I thought was an interesting pick from a former NBA player. Nelly should win this, right? But Carol Baskin from The Tiger King is on Dancing with the Stars. Yes.
That is my pick, actually.
No, come on now.
No way.
I want her to win. You know why I want her to win? Because I would know that the Tiger King himself is in prison just dying inside because his nemesis, Carol Baskin, is becoming the celebrity he always wanted to be.
Mm.
That would make me smile.
Yeah.
I don't see.
Who else is on the show?
Nelly.
Who else is on the show?
Oh, I don't know. Those are the three names that were. I mean, we can look it up real quick. Hold on.
I gotta see. Is Zendaya on it? Just checking. I'm upset.
Zendaya is not on it. All right. Dancing with the Stars features a Backstreet Boy. Which one? All right. Here we go. Let me see. Carol Baskin, Vernon Davis, Super Bowl champ, Super Vernon Davis, Disney Channel actress Skye Jackson, Ann Heck,
mm-hmm.
Justina Machado. Hetch, sorry.
Oh.
AJ McLean. McLean? Backstreet Boys? I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Wait, hold on. Jesse Metcalf?
Oh.
Yeah, Jesse That's Metcalf. Chrishell Stouse is an actress. And figure skater Johnny Weir.
Oh, Johnny Weir's going to win. 100%. That's Johnny Weir's going to win that.
Yeah.
He's already good at this. He already knows how to do choreography.
Oh, yeah. That's right. He's a figure skater.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to win. That's my pick.
I'm going with Jesse Metcalf.
Do people still
watch
that, though?
Middle America.
People still watch Dancing with the Stars? That's a thing?
Yeah, people still watch. It gets really good ratings still.
Yeah. I get, you know. I don't. It's been like years. I couldn't even tell you who's won it. I think I've seen it since Key
was on it. I think was the last time I saw it. You know,
it's just one of those shows that's like,
it was so quick.
Yeah, Key was eliminated very quickly. Yes, he was. We should ask Key tomorrow, LZ, who he thinks he should who should win Dancing with the Stars. I'm sure he'll love that question.
Yeah, Johnny Weir's winning that. That's an easy one. Nelly or Johnny Weir, because they both dance and do choreography.
Yeah, for sure. So here's the deal. ESPN came out with their top 100 NFL players. Aaron Donald, number 2 on their top 100.
Disrespectful.
Behind Mahomes.
Mahomes 1, Aaron Donald 2, Lamar Jackson 3, Russell Wilson 4. Michael Thomas, speaking of Key, number 5. So there you have it.
Wow.
That's high for a wide receiver.
That's pretty high. That's very high for a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Very high. But it's disrespectful to Aaron Donald's not number 1.
I don't think so. Mahomes just won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
he didn't win it by himself.
Yeah, but if anything, you could say it's disrespectful to Lamar Jackson. For him to be ahead of him.
Yeah, I'm looking at this list. They got Drew Brees 14. I mean, maybe 2 years ago.
Maybe 4 years ago.
Nope. Is Drew Brees ahead of Jared Goff?
Yes. And Dak Prescott ahead of Aaron Rodgers.
Now, see, now that's just stupid. You done went from disrespectful to stupid.
Yeah.
Who in the hell is taking Dak Prescott over Aaron Rodgers?
Even at 36, I don't care. No way. No way.
Nobody. Nobody.
No
you got to win one game. You have to make one throw. 5 seconds left. You got 40 yards to go. Who do you want to have the ball, Dak Prescott or Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, exactly. Aaron Rodgers.
Totally disrespectful. I can't believe OKC has the lead again. What is happening here?
Man, let me tell you something. If Houston blows this thing and they get bounced in the first round, the only thing that could save the referees, right? Do you think the only thing Momo and LZ that could save the referees from the Milwaukee-Miami game
for
their incompetence is Houston just getting mollywopped in this game?
Oh, that is an excellent word choice right there. Mollywopped. I don't even know what that is, but I like it.
Way to go, Molly. Yeah.
No, I don't. I think, look, what time is it right now? It's almost 7 o'clock here.
Yeah.
So on the East Coast, a lot of people are going to go to bed and not finish this Houston-Oklahoma City game. They're just going to be talking about the end of that game.
Yeah.
I mean, it was such a bad game. Like, okay, Giannis misses 2 free throws. Jimmy Butler misses a free throw that would have made all this moot anyway. Then you shouldn't have called a foul on Dragic to begin with. You do. Chris Middleton hits all 3. Then you call this weird foul on Jimmy at the end as sort of like this makeup call when we should have just gone to overtime. The right outcome happens, but it was like 2 bad calls don't make a right.
Right.
And that's all we're going to talk about.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Because also the Bucks are down 0-2.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the combination of things where the presumptive MVP, you know, is basically reduced to just a bit player in the fourth quarter again.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the junk happened around the game, but it's really about the number one team in the league being down 0-2.
Yeah.
And the refs are like the second part of the story, and they're really fascinating. But it's like defensive player of the year. Like, what is he, the fifth guy ever that's won both awards?
Yeah, and now they're going to have to hurry up and announce this MVP thing, because usually we have been having the award show, but this year they're obviously not doing that. It's COVID year. And it's you got to just announce it during the playoffs. So what if we have another – remember when Dirk Nowitzki won and then they got bounced in the first round when the Mavis lost that year?
Yep.
I mean, Giannis is going to win the MVP again. I think it's going to be about about 75%.
Right. But by the way, you, me, and LZ will have been right. He shouldn't have been the MVP.
Well, I mean, look, I voted for LeBron because it was not an anti-Giannis vote. It was a pro-LeBron vote in the sense that I factor in more than just your stats, because the stats are obvious that Giannis should win. But to me, I think leadership, you know, taking the Lakers from out of the playoffs for 6 years, all the leadership LeBron showed in helping resurrect that franchise. I mean, I was standing there when Magic Johnson quit last April. I mean, lowest of the low. You know, him showing not only the leadership to help them through that, but I think you get credit for all of that all year long. Plus, by the way, the last two games I saw live were March 6th and March 8th, where LeBron defended Giannis, defended Kawhi, and the Lakers beat the Bucks and beat the Lakers.
No doubt. I mean, hey, Momo, so it's funny you say that, because we were just – LZ and I played the other day. The Levitard Show crew, they do this thing called the Parade of Gas Bags where they basically – when everybody jumps on one side and then everybody's like loud wrong, they play like a mashup of it.
Excellent.
And LZ and I had some fun with this, because now I feel kind of bad because these people are our friends.
Uh-huh.
But not bad enough where we won't make fun of them.
Okay.
I think Laura still – Laura, do you have it still? All right. This is about the people picking the Blazers on our network. Go ahead, Laura.
Look at all the people who were wrong questioning the Lakers.
This is going to be a nail-biter. The Blazers are not going anywhere.
The Portland Trail Blazers, they might have a chance to beat the Lakers.
Well, the Lakers and LeBron, they seem to be in a little bit of a funk.
This is who the Lakers are, like, you know – from the great Denny Green. Like, they are kind of who we thought they were. They're missing more wide open shots than any team in the bubble.
If you can make shots and you have elite guard play, you can beat the Lakers.
The Lakers on the other side, they got two good players, and I don't even know if it's fair to call the rest of them guys a bunch of dudes. They just got two good players and a whole bunch of cross fingers.
The Lakers are 2.5 men. I mean, Kyle Kuzma comes in and he has some good minutes. It's not good enough. And I look at this and go, do the Lakers have enough after one game? Yes, I'm asking it. I'm not weighing in yet.
Even if LeBron turns it on, what happens if no one else does? I look across this roster, and outside of Davis, I don't see solutions for the problems they have.
The Lakers were peaking when the shutdown occurred, and now they have to refine themselves. This is not the same team.
Damian Lillard is the best player in the National Basketball Association right now. Plain and simple. You combine that with the fact that the Lakers can't seem to shoot, okay? And ladies and gentlemen, we have a problem in LA.
I'm concerned about the Lakers. They may go down in history as the third team to lose to an eighth seed in the first round, because this is the best eighth seed that the NBA has ever seen in NBA history.
Okay, Momo, we've got less than 30 seconds here. Which one of those is the worst out of all our friends and colleagues?
I think it's probably Kellerman there. I don't know.
LZ, you still think it's Bomani?
Oh, not Bomani. I said
Stephen A.
Stephen A. Calling
Damian Lillard the best player.
Yeah.
We were all right. On that Dame hype train, though. We really were.
We were. All right, we're done here.
Dame deserves it.
Yeah. He's great. He's great. Momo, thank you so much for hanging out on a Wednesday.
Thanks, boys. I enjoyed it.
Always fun. LZ, you and I will talk to each other tomorrow. Excellent work out of you as always.
Excellent work for you, birthday boy. Woo woo.
Thank you. Appreciate Greg and Laura. Tomorrow. Great job as always. Thanks for those who tuned in, call in. LAFC is up next. Have a great night. Stay healthy. Stay safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4. We love you. See ya.